The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, we are live on a very busy Friday, March 19th, 2021, a day away from spring being sprung, and also a day before UFC Vegas 22. Which will be headlined by a big middleweight matchup, as you can see on the screen here, as we welcome you to our preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the whole crew. We got Jose Youngs, all fresh and shaved. Look at this guy. We got Alexander Kaylee, taking a break from March Madness. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. E. Casey Lydon is here. Won't you be my neighbor, Casey? Looking like a millie. Unbelievable. But gentlemen, we got another Saturday night full of fights for everybody to enjoy tomorrow night. Main event.
Before we start, I would like you to reintroduce me with my official title.
Oh, excuse me. The reigning, defending, undisputed Between the Links champion who retained his title in a draw yesterday on Between the Links. So he's still the champ, and that's all that matters. He will come back on Thursday with the invisible title wrapped around his waist. There's the air horn. But listen, we got Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland in the main event tomorrow night. Derek Brunson has looked really good as of late. He's won his last three. Kevin Holland comes into this fight with a ton of momentum after going 5-0 in 2020. So AK, let's begin with you. Your thoughts on this very pivotal 185-pound matchup and what it means for both of these gentlemen.
I love the matchup. It's one I think a lot of us have been asking for a while. There's beef between these guys. There's beef between Holland and a lot of people, but there's beef. There's legitimate beef. There was some awkwardness at the face-off. I don't know. Did you guys see the face-offs?
I loved it.
Yeah, there's a little awkwardness. A lot of touch, but kind of an awkward "don't touch me" moment with Brunson, and it's a great matchup because Brunson is still kind of answering that, like we see this answering this question of, is he just the ultimate gatekeeper? And also, where does Holland kind of sit in this, like, you know, with the way we view Brunson's opponents? Because the narrative for Brunson for so long has been he beats all the guys who are trying to take his spot. But he can never beat the guys who are ahead of him, the former champions, things like that. So where is Holland now? Some people, he's ahead of Holland in the rankings, but I think a lot of people after last year, in terms of public perception, would put Holland above Brunson. So I don't know how people are looking at this. Is this another gatekeeper thing for Brunson, another gatekeeper moment? Or is this another moment to take someone's name and take their spot? And again, not just in the official rankings, but where the public might be ranking these guys. So I love the matchup. Stylistically, I think it's great. And I'm kind of 50-50 on my pick so far.
I'm glad you mentioned the face-off because it was just hilarious because you could tell like Derek Brunson does not like Kevin Holland at all. Kevin Holland has said a lot of things about this man over the last couple of years, and they're finally going to fight and they face off. And for some reason, as much as Derek Brunson dislikes Kevin Holland, he found a way to like make him like dislike him less. I guess that makes sense. Like not like Kevin Holland, but he was like, all right, this is fun. That's what Kevin Holland does. But Casey, I'm curious about this because you have produced interviews with both of these guys. Holland, very confident as always, as you were on for the What the Heck conversation. Brunson sort of has this like calculated confidence to him. Like he's not buying into the trash talk. These are things that Kevin Holland does so well. But Brunson's 37 years old. He's looking to get up this ladder, while Holland just doesn't seem to be in a huge rush to get up this ladder as long as he can fight as often as possible. So I'm curious what you have made of the approaches both guys have heading into this fight tomorrow night.
Well, I think Kevin Holland's doing Kevin Holland things. You know, that he's doing what feels comfortable for him. He's going to talk smack and just make the whole fight build up just a kind of a long conversation. And it's really up to the opponent if they want to participate in that conversation because Kevin Holland said in other interviews, hey, I'm going to talk smack. If you want to talk back, whatever, but I'll talk to anyone. You know, that's just how we roll. So Kevin Holland is very comfortable in this this main event spot, you know, in the limelight and stuff. But I am impressed with Derek Brunson because I think Derek Brunson has basically, I don't know, you know, when fighters kind of talk smack and everything, we're like, ah, it looks fake and everything. I think Derek Brunson kind of falls into that when it was just never him. I think when he got the Izzy fight, I think the Izzy fight was like the big one. You know, I'm going to talk smack to Izzy, you know, Izzy's going to talk back and we're going to build up hype. And, you know, it just didn't work out for him. And I think Jose will probably mention it later in our interviews of Derek Brunson. He said in the past, you know, I got to just win fights. I can't think about tomorrow. I can only think about this Saturday, tomorrow, you know, being, you know, future fights. I can only think about that fight Saturday. And he just has to think, concentrate on winning. Just win. That's all that matters for him.
Jose, you are, you know, retaining your title in Between the Links yesterday. And we talked about this fight and we discussed what was at stake between these two guys, like who had more at stake. And it seems like the answer between you and Sarah Kaufman was it's clearly Derek Brunson because he's looking to make that move now before it's too late, kind of the latter stage of his career. Holland is on the road to becoming a star in this sport. And because of that, I've had a lot of people hit me up saying that if Kevin Holland goes out there and wins tomorrow night, if he goes out and stops Derek Brunson, they think he's going to jump the queue and get that fight with Israel Adesanya right off the bat. Like, do you think that's even possible? Like, could the UFC just strap the rockets to him and throw him right in there to fight Izzy if he has an impressive performance tomorrow night?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. Come on. Like, I get people like Kevin Holland, and he's an exciting fighter, but he's beating one guy in the top 15. He's like, and that's it. And Derek Brunson's beating it, like, fought everyone in the top 15. Even he's fought some of the top five in Bellator that's now over there. So no, Kevin Holland wins impressively. I would still think he's at least one fight away from winning, just because Israel Adesanya, anyone that puts a microphone in front of him, he's like, I want to fight Darren Till. Darren Till doesn't win, then that's a different story. But I just think, like, he's not going to skip over Robert Whittaker if he wins. Maybe if Kelvin Gastelum wins, they could do, and Holland wins, they could do a number one contender fight. Vettori's also been on a tear. And also, let's not forget, Marvin Vettori hates Kevin Holland too, and vice versa. So if Marvin Vettori wins and that's a number one contender fight, so be it. But Kevin Holland, I don't think, is going to skip the queue, because also, let's not forget, Israel Adesanya did an interview where someone brought up Kevin Holland, and his exact response was, no, he's way far down the list. So no. 0% chance Kevin Holland skips the queue, regardless of what fans think. I don't even think Kevin Holland's going to win, so it's going to be a moot point for me. But no, I don't think he's going to skip the queue whatsoever, no matter how much greasiness he talks.
Interesting. And in the world where Khamzat Chimaev exists, you don't think it's possible?
Nope. Kevin Holland is from the wrong part of the world. He's not Dagestani. They're not looking for he doesn't look like the next Khabib. He doesn't talk like the next Khabib. So no, I don't think Kevin Holland is in that list. Maybe if they want to fight, sure, but I don't think so. No,
we shall see. I don't think it's going to happen either. I don't even think Kevin Holland wants that to happen. I think he just wants to keep fighting. Like, if you told him, hey, you could fight Israel Adesanya for the title in August, or you can fight in June against this guy and fight in July against somebody else, he would take the fights in June and July over the title fight. That's just how he is. But you brought up picks, Jose. I'm just going to throw it right to you. You don't think Kevin Holland's going to win? You're obviously picking Derek Brunson. How do you see this all going down? How does Brunson get his hand raised tomorrow night?
I think it'll be... I don't know if he knocks him out, like knocks him dead, like Dan Ige, Gavin Tucker thing, but I could see him finishing with ground and pound, maybe hurting him against the fence or just like, quote, grinding out a win, as Kevin Holland says, which I don't even think is that true with Derek Brunson. He has a lot of knockout victories and he's a pretty violent fighter. Like, he's coming off a TKO win over Edmund Shahbazyan. And then the Elias Theodorou fight, it is what it is. Derek Brunson fought his fight and it takes two to tango, and Elias just didn't really want to engage in that fight. The Ian Heiner's fight was fun, but that was really this emergence of the new Derek Brunson. As Casey said, we interviewed him before that fight, and he's like, I got to stop looking ahead, because he was on that big knockout streak, and he was looking way too far ahead. And we also interviewed him at the Dominance MMA media scene, media day, and he said the same thing. He goes, just can't. I was an idiot against Israel Adesanya. So this is a new Derek Brunson. He's getting real close to 40, so I think Derek Brunson is just, I've been saying it all week, I think he's the most underappreciated fight middleweight of like the last 10 years in terms of his victories, the people he's fought, and the people he's lost to. I know a lot of people say Gegard Mousasi, but I think Gegard Mousasi is rightfully placed in the annals of the MMA lore. He's probably, actually, no, he's definitely a top five middleweight of all time, maybe top three, maybe top two. But I think Derek Brunson is fantastic. Kevin Holland's awesome. I just think Derek Brunson is better.
AK, I know you were 50-50. Have you gone to 51 on one side or the other?
Here's some Derek Brunson stats for you to back up kind of what Jose just said. It is strange that Brunson is not, again, I know there's reasons beyond just performances, but why he is not, the UFC has not done a better job positioning the guy as one of their popular middleweights. I have no idea. Seven first round stoppages is the most for any middleweight in UFC history. So Anderson Silva, all those guys, no, they don't have more first round finishes than Brunson. Tied for fourth most stoppages with Thiago Santos behind Liebin, Nate Marquardt, and Anderson Silva. Tied for third most UFC middleweight KOs behind only Thiago Santos and Anderson Silva. So it's crazy. He has these and wins. I don't think Jose went over his wins, but he has wins over Machida, Uriah Hall, Chris Lieben, guys who are a lot more famous than he is. He's beaten them.
Anderson Silva.
I was saying the Anderson Silva fight, which I thought was a robbery, frankly. A word I very use rarely, but I mean, I had it. I think I did a review and I'm pretty sure I leaned towards robbery. So yeah, it is strange that he's not a bigger star. I'll say my pick is probably still Holland. I think I've doubted him too much. Now I've gone the other way. I might be overcompensating where I've doubted him. I think I definitely picked Jacare over him, I believe. And then was clearly wrong about that. So now I'm going the other way, and who knows, we'll probably be wrong again. I also just did my classic why one fighter will win and then pick the other person thing. So Kevin Holland all the way. Don't bet on MMA.
speaking of betting, Casey, and I'll let you respond. Right now, according to Five Dimes, Kevin Holland, the -175 favorite, the comeback on Derek Brunson, +155.
Wow.
Your thoughts on the lines and your thoughts on who gets their hand raised. Jose hates these odds.
Oh, those are crazy odds. When I heard -175, I immediately thought Brunson was going to come out next, but you said Holland. I was like, whoa, okay. I pretty much agree with everything the person above me says, Jose. Not Jesus, but Jose in the square, that guy. I pretty much agree with Jose. Says Derek Brunson is incredibly underrated, and I think the reason he is underrated, like I've said before, is unfortunately for Derek Brunson, when he wins, you know, but when he loses big, you know, his big knockouts by Jacare, you know, Izzy just, you know, embarrasses them, things like that. So he loses these big fights, but all those kind of big losses, that was a bit of the slightly less mature Derek Brunson. And I think Derek Brunson, you know, he's like you said, he's 37. Yeah, you know, he's got a family to feed. I think he realizes, you know, hey, you know, like maybe Holland was right. This is most likely Derek Brunson's last true title run. And I just think he's a better middleweight, especially. And I think he'll be able to really just control the range. And I think he'll kind of, it'll be an exciting fight, but I think he'll cruise to a pretty dominant decision over Holland. And he'll take him down, you know, smother him out, beat him up on the ground. He'll get, you know, Holland will get up. He's really crafty on his back and very active. But I think from the stand-up wise, Derek Brunson just doesn't make those stupid mistakes anymore. And Derek Brunson should win this fight. And Kevin Holland, while he's a very good middleweight, I think it's going to be hard for him with his size to be an elite middleweight.
Casey, I'm torn on this one.
Have you guys seen the Tapology user predictions?
Oh no, I haven't.
It's even bigger than the. So Mike, what did you say the latest line was for Holland? Yeah.
-175 for Holland.
-175. Yeah, it's even more confidence in the Tapology user voting. 80% Holland, which I would like take the equivalent of like better than 2-1. Roughly better than 2-1. They're all in. That's Tapology users.
Let me just say how this goes back to what Jose said. How underrated Derek Brunson is. I went to the Shabazzian fight, and we know Derek Brunson completely schooled Shabazzian.
Oh yeah.
The fans picked Shabazzian to win that fight 87%.
Wow.
87% of the fans picked Shabazzian to win. And that fight clearly was Derek Brunson's fight from the get-go.
Ooh.
So,
there you go.
I would favor Shabazzian over Kevin Holland, too.
Me too.
I think Kevin Holland is an awesome, awesome fighter. And he's hyper exciting. I just think Derek Brunson is, we're just better everywhere. Except for trash talking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if we're talking trash talking, Derek Brunson is horrible at that. It's not good. It's atrocious. Like he looks like that guy, like we said, he's faking it. He's not being real. And Kevin Holland is 100% real when he's trash talking. I don't even think Kevin Holland trash talks. I think this is just, that's his norm. Like if he's getting froyo, he kind of says, he talks the same way, you know? It's like, whatever. It's all, that's just Kevin Holland. So yeah, bad trash talker, great fighter, Derek Brunson.
It's always tough to go against Derek. I picked Derek Brunson to beat Edmund Shabazzian. I felt very confident in that pick. I just don't know how Derek Brunson wins this fight. You know what I mean? Like I think about it and I'm like, I don't want to go against Derek. The only way I could see him winning this fight is if it's a boring decision. Like he puts him on his back, keeps him down, throws a little bit of ground and pound here and there, and just keeps hauling off his feet. Like I think that's the only way he can win this fight. I think Holland's the better striker. I think Holland, like jiu-jitsu and grappling wise, is probably better with Travis Luter, but I think the wrestling advantage would probably go to Brunson. I just don't, with the athletic abilities and the things Kevin Holland brings to the table, his length, I just don't know how Brunson wins this fight overall, unless Holland just like rests in his laurels and is way too overconfident. I just don't see it.
I just don't see it.
So, with that said, I think Holland stops him. I think Holland stops him in the third round. That's what I'm going with.
Once Brunson rehydrates and everything, because basically the weigh-ins, that's the size that we're going to see Kevin Holland at. Brunson is a big heavyweight too. He's not the biggest middleweight. He's not the biggest middleweight, but he is a legit middleweight. And I think tomorrow that will come into play. One thing I wanted to mention, I forgot. The only thing that kind of the X factor, which I don't know about, is at what point is Derek Brunson just going to be old, and where like his athleticism will fall off at 37. I don't know if it shows up tomorrow night, but at some point the age will become a factor of Derek Brunson. I don't think tomorrow night's that night, but it's something to consider.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if Brunson wins the fight. And if he wins, there's a certain way I think he can do it. And if he can keep Holland on his back for 25 minutes and just like work him and solidify him in some way and just take away his entire game plan, then the answer is he's not getting old. He's Jan Błachowicz, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Like Jan Błachowicz is like fine wine right now. He could be like the next Jan. He can win that way. Like if Brunson decides to go that route and wrestle and take Holland down and just beat him up off like on the ground on top of him in his guard. Yeah, he could win. I just don't know. I don't know. We'll see. That's the only way I think he wins this fight though.
I never thought of Derek Brunson as could be the next Jan Błachowicz. kind of started in the UFC, kind of, yeah, you know, he was good. But then all of a sudden, like, hey, you're really good. I didn't even know it, you know? So who knows?
And Holland gets his wish. He said he wanted blonde Derek Brunson. I believe we got blonde Derek Brunson. So Cisco. He said that's the best Derek Brunson. Cisco. There you go. So that's the main event. The co-main event, really good fight. I'm really looking forward to this. We got the return of Gregor Gillespie. First time he steps foot in the octagon since UFC 244 when he got knocked out viciously by Kevin Lee. So it's been, I don't know, 16, 17 months away. Taking on the surging Brad Riddell. Right now, Casey, and I'll start with you on this, the line, Gregor Gillespie, minus 245 favorite, and the comeback on Brad Riddell, plus 205. Do you agree with this line right now, considering Gillespie's been out for a while, and he got knocked out pretty brutally in his last fight?
That's a weird line. No, I don't agree with the line. To me, this is kind of a pick-em fight, just because I think there's a lot of just unknowns coming into this fight. Riddell does have a good, I thought Riddell had a, I know he's not the same wrestling background, but doesn't he have a wrestling background from?
Brad Riddell is very much from a kickboxing background. He has like 70 something kickboxing and Muay Thai fights.
Who was it? Okay. But Riddell, he's spoken very highly of his own wrestling, right?
Yeah. He's
Well, I mean, like everyone
city
is.
Kickboxing team. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we're going striker versus grappler. the classic MMA match. Yeah, the lines are weird. I have no idea who to pick in this fight. It's what type of Gillespie we're getting, I think. If Brad Riddell is probably how old is Brad Riddell? He's not even 30 yet, right?
He's 30 exactly.
30 exactly, yeah. Riddell should be kind of entering his lightweight prime. So I don't know. This is a great matchup, and I honestly we're gonna see aspects of both these fighters I think we haven't seen yet, and especially with Riddell. And Riddell obviously is a giant test. If he can beat Gillespie, then he is absolutely a elite lightweight. He'll move past that kind of prospect status.
Yeah, Brad Riddell will be 30 in September.
Okay.
So pretty much he's knocking on the door of the big 3-0. Jose, I know your eyes are on this fight. And one thing to kind of point out is a lot of people have been asking for months, like, where is Gregor Gillespie? Obviously, that was a brutal knockout, but this wasn't like anything like injury related or anything like that. It was mostly pandemic related because he's in New York. It was really hard to get in the gym and find a place to train while everything was shut down. Finally, things opened up. He's back in there, and now he's got himself a fight. Your thoughts for those who missed between the links, why you like this fight so much between Gillespie and Riddell tomorrow, Jose?
Well, it's just a high-level fight. Like, I don't care, regardless of the rankings or not. Brad Riddell is one of those guys. When I interviewed him on Fight Island, he has so many fights that aren't even on his, like, kickboxing or MMA record. Like, they would go to China and just fight guys. And I can't remember who the last guy he fought, but he had some insane record of, like, 20-2 or 20-1 or something crazy like that with, like, an absurd amount of amateur fights, too. And he's like, great. I fought guys with 100 Muay Thai fights on and then turn around the next day and fought a guy with 70 Muay Thai fights. So Brad Riddell is a seasoned 29-year-old in the fight world. And it's like the same thing as Gregor Gillespie. How many wrestling matches has he had? So I don't really view either of these guys as prospects or anything like that, just because of how much experience they have under their belt and competitiveness. Like in MMA, sure, we could call them prospects, but in the wrestling combat world, these guys are about as seasoned as you can get. So I am hyper excited for this fight. Brad Riddell, it's very refreshing to hear him talk because he's very much willing to just go up the rings of the ladder in the lightweight division rather than just call out the number five guy and get him. And then Gregor Gillespie, nothing really seems to bother him much. But these long layoffs are nothing new. Like, wasn't his schedule like once every few years, like once a year for a bit? Like, he would fight in the Brooklyns and the Utica cards, and then he would take this time off and come back. And so these long layoffs are nothing new to Gregor. This time just happens to be injury / pandemic. Well, not injury. He got kicked in the skull, so I'm pretty sure he had to take some time off. And then the pandemic hit. So this whole how will he look after a long layoff doesn't really do anything for me. It's more how he'll recover after getting his head caved in from a baseball bat to the head that that's more interesting to me than the layoff. But this fight rules, and I think it's a pretty 50-50 fight. But I slightly lean Gregor just simply because we've seen this whole elite grappler versus elite striker a million times, and normally the wrestler takes it, but I think it's like 51-49 Greg Gillespie in my mind.
Yeah, he fought three times in 2016, twice in 2017, twice in 2018, twice in 2019, and did not fight in 2020 at all. So, AK, your thoughts on this fight, and you want to go ahead and throw a pick out there? Let's hear it before we go to the peeps.
Oh, I mean, I can't give my my take without making my pick really obvious. So yeah, you pretty much have to. I'm leaning heavily towards Gillespie. I'm such a believer in him still as a lightweight contender. I know everyone's going to think about that head kick. It's been replayed ad nauseum. I understand. But before that, he was really dominating people. There was the, could he be Khabib's foil talk, which I think now we know is insane. That's how good he was when he was on that win streak, his initial win streak in the UFC. His wrestling is so high level. I really do not know, as Jose said, Riddell comes from a kickboxing background. Obviously, he's an experienced MMA fighter now. He's not a fish out of water on the ground, probably. But I really don't know enough about his wrestling and grappling defense to be convinced that he could hang with Gillespie for three rounds and actually avoid being submitted. So heavily in on Gillespie. I still think he's one of the guys to watch at 155. And I think the 500 plus days he's had off is a good thing. I think after taking a knockout, am I frozen?
No.
You guys hear me? I'm sorry. My thing's green. But yeah, I think the 500 plus days, I'm very slow. You know how my internet is up in Canada, guys. Sometimes it's, it's a coin flip, but 500 plus days off after taking a knockout like that, that's a good thing. I know it wasn't, like we said, there was reasons, outside of his control, but classic. It's a cliche, blessing in disguise. You got to rest after taking a hit like that. That was major. That was such a vicious knockout. I wish more fighters could take that time off after getting KO'd like that. So I think it will only benefit him. And I am expecting him to actually be dominant on Saturday. So yeah, I agree with the odds. I might even lean even more heavily in Gillespie's favor.
All right. Look at that.
I went there. Wow. Yeah.
Anyone picking Riddell tomorrow?
I'll pick Riddell. F it.
It's that guy.
He'll stuff some takedowns and knock him out into the first. I think it's one of those fights that within about 90 seconds, we're going to pretty much know how the fight's going to go, I feel. Mm-hmm. That's about, I am picking Riddell just on a hunch, but obviously the smart pick is Gillespie, but this guy ain't smart. I just wear this.
This guy is smart.
Just for the looks.
It's a very interesting fight.
It's
a very good match.
Brad Riddell also hasn't had a stoppage win in the UFC yet. And he's had that real narrow Magomed Mustafa split decision. So I do think the story of this whole card, I think, is just recency bias. Like, everyone's alive. Like, you saw the massive odds for Kevin Holland. I think that's 100% recency bias. And then people just remember Greg Gillespie getting his head kicked in and Brad Riddell looking great on Fight Island. I just think all of these matchups are going to be recency bias in my mind.
But I would say, Riddell, you talk about having no finishes in the UFC, but I think that's works to his advantage, because I think to beat Gillespie, you're going to have to have incredible cardio,
right?
Just to withstand all those. So if he had come out of the UFC, knocked out a couple of dudes in the first round, actually, I would kind of hold that against him, against a guy like Gillespie. But I think that makes just the fight more competitive. I don't necessarily think anyone's right or wrong, but I think
this this is also his first fight stateside. All of his fights have been in Australia, China, New Zealand, and of course Fight Island.
Ooh, jet lag.
It's real.
Factor it in.
It's real.
Factor it in. Don't bet on MMA. Factor it in.
But it's a good fight. Really like that one. So we have a 6-fight main card. Kicks off at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Tai Tuivasa versus the debutante former contender series alum Harry Hunsucker. We get Song Kanon, Max Griffin, Adrian Yanez versus Gustavo Lopez in the UFC debuts for both Cheyenne Bays and Monserrat Ruiz. That's going to be the featured bout at 115 pounds. So, interesting fight card. What are the peeps saying?
Ready to go to the peeps?
Let's go to the peeps.
The peeps.
We've been yammering for 28 minutes. We can go to the peeps.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Oops, let me.
Here
we go.
Grant Dawson competing at lightweight against Leonardo Santos. Do you guys believe lightweight is the correct weight class for Dawson? Dawson said it himself that he is a huge featherweight. I will take this. I think it's lightweight is absolutely the place for him to be. He is a massive, massive individual. He says he walks around 185. So him not having to cut down to 145 makes a lot of sense. Weighed in at 156 today. Jose, your thoughts on Grant Dawson bumping up to 55 here tomorrow?
It had to be done. It's one of like you miss weight two times in a row. It should just be a rule. Move up, and then maybe if you want to go back down, show you can do it. It's like the Kelvin Gastelum thing. Misses weight a few times, gets pulled out, bumps back up, but he looks great. Or he could bump back up and look terrible and have to drop back down. So TBD to see how he physically looks in there against a physically like Leandro Santos is a legit lightweight, like a high level fighter who is built for this division. So TBD on how he looks, but the move should have been forced. And I don't know the exact reasoning behind it. Maybe the UFC forced him to move up or not, but yeah, you miss two in a row, you move up.
Well, he missed one. The other fight was a catchweight at 150.
Sure.
Okay. But basically he said like after he missed weight, he said, if I ever miss weight again, or I even come close to missing weight again, I'm bumping up. And even getting down to 150 was a struggle for him. And he knew right there and then that he was done. So, AK, what do you think? Grant Dawson, 155, taking on an alum, both these guys on 7-fight winning streaks. So this is a really interesting matchup.
Well, I know it's the right move because you've berated me multiple times on to the next one matchmaking podcast when I try to match up Grant Dawson at one. It's happened at least twice. Where I'm like, Grant Dawson would be a good guy for this featherweight who just won in this card. You're like, no. He said, no. You're like, no, AK. He's a lightweight. And I'm like, we'll see about that. And I just mumble and grumble until I saw the fight announced. I'm like, okay, I guess you're right. He's a lightweight. Of course, it's good for him. I mean, well, look. He should try and cut that extra 10 pounds just so we can, as we've seen, I think, as we learn, you know, let me put this way, I haven't seen anything recently that makes me think, you know, excessive weight cutting is a bad idea. You know what I mean? I'm struggling, you know, to think of an incident that may have happened, I don't know, you know, today or in the last month, you know, it's the right move to make. And I'm surprised, by the way, that we didn't mention the Julius Stolyarenko thing. First of all, prayers up for Julia Stolyarenko that she's okay after today's frightening fainting bout. Excuse me. I'm sure we'll see a question being addressed later. But but regarding Dawson, it's definitely the right move. He's a super strong guy. So I don't think so. Whatever size he's giving up at lightweight, I don't think it's gonna be a big deal. He's a great grappler, which is always a good place to be, regardless of what weight class you're at. So I totally approve. If by some chance he can comfortably make 145 in the future, go for it. But it does not sound like he has any interest in that, and he shouldn't feel compelled to.
Casey,
cool. Of course. This is of course Grant Dawson. What did you say? Is walking around weight is 180 something?
He's like he's in the 180s.
That's insane. That's just to go to 145. Like that is wild. So yeah, this is a great. It's a big showcase fight for Grant Dawson, I feel. Leo is a great, very good fighter, very underrated, but he's also 41 years old. He's a very young-looking 41 years old, but he is still 41 years old. And I think at this point, you know, I think we can concede that Leo is not at his probably athletic prime. He might have more technical skills at this point in his life, but I think this is Dawson's fight to take, and especially with a healthy weight cut, which I'm assuming the best things yet with his weight cut. So good for Dawson, and it should be a big night for him.
Yeah, he's around a 2-1 favorite heading into tomorrow. Oh, kind of averaging out the odds.
The disrespect, Mike.
It was Leo. at 41 years old, just say if Leo was ranked, would he be? He'll be. He's the oldest lightweight, right? Like ranked.
He is the oldest active lightweight right now. Yeah, correct.
All right.
It's a good fight.
I like Leonardo Santos. I don't know. I might pick him. I don't know yet. I haven't done my predictions yet, boys. I might pick him. I think he's
Grant. Grant Doss was very convincing on what the heck. He's basically said, like, if he doesn't finish me in the first 30 seconds, it's going to be a long night for him. I kind of believe him.
30 seconds? I don't know about that. Okay, we'll see. Man, yeah. I was thinking, when Santos beat Kevin Lee, was that like early in the fight? Do you remember? Or is it just, did it just kind of happen?
Yeah, first round.
First round of the fight? Okay.
First round TKO.
That was on the fabled McGregor Aldo card.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. He actually has like really wrestling. You know, the thing is, if people think like Dawson's just like under the ground easy, I don't know. Leonardo is one of the better, like, guy who's known for being a jiu-jitsu guy. He's actually also one of the better wrestlers. I think you'll be surprised. He's actually like, he can wrestle really well. So I don't know.
He looks great for his age.
I hope I look that way when I'm 41. Do you guys think the UFC is pushing Cheyenne and JP Bayes as the next it married couple in the UFC? They had their own scrum this week. Casey, you're a married man. What are your thoughts on Cheyenne and JP Bayes getting the old pusheroo this week?
That's absolutely what the UFC should be doing, you know, especially for these fight nights. You know, you just, people love stories, storylines sell, and that's a legitimate storyline. Married couple fighting on the same UFC card. Is this the first? I know Bellator has attempted it, and only one side won. Is this the first time UFC?
De La Rosa's tried it.
Oh, De La Rosa tried it. Okay, they tried it, and they didn't do it. So, no, it's fine. It's a fun little storyline, but yeah, and have put it together in the scrum. That's cute. Why not? I don't mind. There should be more couple scrums.
These are two very legit prospects too. Like Cheyenne, yeah. I think the UFC would push Cheyenne in a second because she's an exciting fighter. She's got the gift of gab. She'll talk trash in the middle of a fight. Like
I was saying, what she showed in her fight. Yeah, if anyone didn't see that, look up her fight on Contender Series. If you want to get to know Cheyenne, well, watch one of Mike's interviews with her, and then go back and watch the fight. You'll learn. You're essentially having a conversation with her.
I remember. I can't remember who I was going to interview, but I went to Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. It might have been before Stipe DC won on International Fight Week, and the coach pulled me aside and was like, "See this girl right here? She doesn't have any pro fights, but she is going to destroy everyone." It was Cheyenne Bayes, and then she disappeared. This is before she even met her current husband, and then she disappeared. And I remember going back there, and she wasn't anywhere to be seen, and I had no idea where she went. And little did I know, she ran to South Africa to marry someone.
Yes, and JP is hearing Uriah Hall talk about JP Bayes. I mean, this guy's a scary, scary cat. I mean, you saw it on the Contender Series. He's a tremendous wrestler. Submission skills are outstanding. And Bruno Silva, that's actually a pretty good fight that could go either way.
Bruno is the individual that Casey, when we were in Chicago for the Cejudo Moraes card. Bruno's the one that tried to fight that Marlon went after. because Cejudo and him or Cejudo and Silva are good training partners. And then of course, Frankie tried to jump in. So it's like a whole thing. So I can't believe Bruno's still in the UFC because he hasn't won yet. He's had three in a row.
Yeah. He might've been saved by Taha failing a drug test.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would officially be 0-3.
And I like Bruno. It's just, and I want him to be in the UFC. It's just normally you don't get three strikes.
He's better than his record. Like people just see, like you said, 0-2 or 0-3 or 0-2 one no contest. However they want to read. He is better than those records say for sure. Flyweight, I think, is just really, again, anyone that's in flyweight in the UFC is really good. It's a thin division. That's because they really have a lot of the best guys in the world there. But I do like their chances of becoming the first, as Casey kind of alluded to before, the first married couple to win, to have both husband and wife win. Because I think I very much favor Cheyenne over Montserrat Ruiz.
Really? Oh, we're going there already.
I like Montserrat Ruiz.
Doesn't sound like it. When you say you heavily favor, that's not why.
What's up with the Montserrat Conejo thing? What's up with that?
What do you mean?
Like I've seen, I think ESPN's billing her as Montserrat Conejo, but like they're the only one. It's her nickname, but it's like they're the only ones who are doing that. Like they're only ones who are replacing her. Anyway,
That's kind of her fight name.
Is it? Yeah. This is news to me. See, I didn't even know that because I don't see her billed in any database as that until I saw ESPN.
I watch MMA, so yeah.
Okay, I've heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard you're a fan.
Yeah,
And she's fine. I think I'm a believer in the Cheyenne Bayes thing. And
did you see the weigh-in? You see the weigh-in between those two ladies?
I didn't.
Oh, find it. Montserrat.
Describe it like we're on the radio.
Well, Montserrat, she had her little bunny ears, you know, her little gimmick. Yeah. And then normally, you know, they face off, you know, and traditionally, you know, like every other promotion, after you face off, you face forward. And then, you know, Montserrat faces forward, but then she faces the other way. You know, she gives a little tail shake, you know.
Hold on. Well, I got to
you have to watch it.
No. I'll stick with the Bezos, the Bezos, the Jeff Bezoses. I'll stick with them and pick them this time love prevails, guys. Love prevails, and I think we have a husband and wife couple, both victorious.
Love prevails.
So you buy the Bez.
Ah, yeah. Well done.
Touchdown.
Oh, is that how it goes? Cheyenne is actually Cheyenne is the third biggest favorite on the card at minus 345.
Whoa, that is big. See? Casey, the odds don't lie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
they never lie.
They never lie. Never. All right.
Tai Tuivasa is the second biggest favorite at minus 485. And Montel Jackson.
Do you remember Conejo's last fight?
That's sick.
She won by scarf, like it was a scarf hold into a kilo.
Oh, wait, that was in Miss Fist. Why do I not remember that? Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely had that. I covered that for a side.
She's also fighting out of El Paso.
Yep.
Shout out to El Paso.
Sure.
There you go. El Paso. Whoop, whoop.
Tied to Ivasa, you mentioned he's going to smoke Harry Hunsucker. Well, that's a heavyweight fight. It's so random, but I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about it. I'll just say Tied to Ivasa, all his finishes are in the first round. Harry Hunsucker has never fought out of the first round in his career. Just take the under on that one. That's all I'll say. Don't bet on MMA.
Contractually, that fight should only be one round.
It should really only be like 45 seconds.
Yeah. I think after one round, he's just, all right, it's a draw. You guys, I don't want to.
Great main card opener. Great main card.
Nothing has ever happened after. Nothing ever good has ever happened after a first round in a heavyweight fight. Ever.
Wow. Second round, Derek Lewis is a bad mamma jamma. Two fights in a row. He's gotten two ferocious finishes.
We have
are the stakes high for Marion Renault in her fight against Macy Chiasson? Renault is currently on a 3-fight skid. Hasn't won a fight since 2018. I guess where John's going with this, AK, and I'll start with you, is this do or die for Marion Renault tomorrow?
It is do or die for Marion Renault tomorrow. Marion Renault, I think, is a good fighter. I think she's a great ambassador for the sport. She's such an intelligent fighter. Such a great interview. So you know, she always has great quotes. But you do have to win. She is the oldest, I believe, the oldest active fighter in the UFC after some of the recent cuts. I mean, look, that's not something, unfortunately, that the UFC values. They're not going to look at that as something that they can market, which I think is kind of novel. But again, it's somewhat understandable why they wouldn't, you know, necessarily promote that. She's 43 years young. She was the first 43-year-old female to compete in the UFC, which is a nice little feather in her cap. But yeah, no, you have to have results. Her fights also, look, I say she's a good fighter. Her fights aren't necessarily barn burners. They're not always the most exciting fights. She's had a few good ones in there, but you know, some have been pretty lackluster. So yeah, it's going to be, there's just no nice way to put it. It is a win and you stick around. Otherwise, we may have seen the last of Marion Renault, but kind of cool that we have two 40 plus fighters, I think, fighting on Saturday. I like that. I like to see the more venerated, more experienced fighters getting some shine. So we'll see how that goes for them.
Yeah. And what's at stake for Macy Chiasson here, Jose Youngs?
What? She only has one loss. Who is that to? Lena Landsberg, so she's moving up. It's another, like we've talked about it on Between the Links. We want fresh matchups in the 135 division because it seems like the top of the 135-pound division has kind of been the same and Amanda's beat everyone. So winning and moving up is obviously the most important thing. Macy Chiasson's also been pretty vocal on social medias about how certain female fighters carry themselves. So, I think a win here is awesome for both. It's obviously more at stake for Marion Renault, but Macy moving up because she's also won the Ultimate Fighter on featherweight.
So if she wants to jump up in featherweight and challenge for the featherweight title too, because it's a shorter queue, so be it. But she has to win first. She also didn't her apartment like collapse on her too?
A few years ago, yeah, something, yeah.
Was it 10 months ago?
It wasn't during the pandemic. So it was a little over a year ago, but
yeah. So like,
but then like a crane fell in her apartment or something. What was that story or something?
Yeah. Something crazy, something like that. I don't remember. I don't know the exact details. Didn't she just like grab her dog and run out? She lost everything else. So yeah, a win would be great. Two wins in 2020 would be great for Macy Chazen.
Agreed.
All right.
Where is this one line? Macy Chazen on -210 favorite.
That sounds right. Okay, looking fine, trying to find some questions. Oh, here we go. What's
this? Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
She kind of has. She sent well wishes. But you will hear more from the Raging Panda later on today. So hint, hint. Here on MMAfighting.com's YouTube channel. So keep that in mind. You will hear from Julia Avia a little bit later on. That was scary too. I mean, that was horrifying.
Can we go in and just talk about that?
Yeah, man. I mean, scared the hell out of me. Especially that one that the video the Schmo posted where she just, I don't even know like how to describe it. She just like lost all feeling in her legs and it's kind of like a penguin getting a foot chopped off. It was just so scary the way she fell down. And then she made weight at 135 and a half. It's just so crazy. And then like, I don't even know why would they even let her step back on the scale? That's like the biggest question I had from the whole thing.
I do you think Casey, well, you can probably answer this. Do you think her team wanted her to do it to get paid? Do you think like they thought that she
no?
Do you think they were thinking that at all in the moment of like we want to make sure she weighs in at least to get that show money or
no? I think weight cutting is very hard, and you know, I've heard stories, but I know she's always had a difficult time making 135, but she still fights fine the next day. You know, that doesn't mean it's safe. I'm not saying it's safe or not safe, but this is kind of in the norm for her. What was not normal is for her to fall like that in front of all the cameras. I mean, I kind of tweeted this out, but you know, it's a bit of a dirty secret, I guess, that fighters pass out all the freaking time during weight cuts, either in the hotel room, in the tub. How many times have you hear about fighters? Oh, they fell down the sauna, or they hit their head falling out of the bathtub, you know, or like those are the ones we hear about. I'm just saying, like, it happens a lot. We just happen to see it. And we just saw a very ugly side of the sport, you know, in front of all the cameras this time. The fact that she came in, because she would remember too, she was one of the first fighters to weigh in. It's not like she came in, because usually when we see things like this, it's always like, you know, at the last, you know, 15, 10 minutes of that 2-hour window. She came in within the first 10, 20 minutes. So I think in her corner's mind, I'm good to go. She probably came down from a hotel room, felt good on that walk. You know, by the time she got in that, when she steps on that scale, and finally has to stand there still for 15 seconds, that's when it all kind of suddenly hit her. And it's just unfortunate, and it sucks. I hope the UFC pays her show money. She made weight. it sucks because I don't know where she trains at, but somewhere Eastern Europe, I think. So that's a hell of a long flight, a lot of hard work, and she goes home without a penny in her pocket. That'd be a shame. And same thing for Julia. I hope they make Avila. Money. Avila, sorry. Julia Avila. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Julia and Julia. Julia and
Julia. I hope the Panda gets some money because I know she's a full-time fighter now. She doesn't have a day job to pay those bills. So it's just, I know for the fans, all we care about is the punching part, but you know, they're humans too, you know, and just, it sucks. So, I don't know. Unfortunate.
And, And Casey, don't you hate that we have to be having these conversations still in the year 2021 of MMA?
Right. Yeah.
We're still having these conversations about one, about extreme weight cutting. I don't know how we're still having these conversations. Two, having to ask, are these fighters getting paid for doing their jobs and showing up what they were contractually obligated to do? Yes, she's not going to fight. And I understand how the promotion is going to view that, but show is literally show. It's in there, right? So some, and you're right, adding in all the other stuff that these fighters go through leading up to fight night. I mean, to think that they don't get any money is absurd. It sucks that we bring this up so often, but I mean, I feel like we're going to keep bringing it up until it changes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
She flies in from overseas too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that can't be good on the body. And since she is a very early prelim fighter, it ain't like she got the money or the UFC's bringing her in a week early to, get that, that airplane. What did Nick Diaz call it? That toxic water out of your system, whatever. But it sucks. That's all. It sucks.
She was part of the Macy Chiasson, the 145 Ultimate Fighter season. So she was very comfortable competing at 145. She's fought, like I said, a lot overseas where I know it sounds like a small difference, but they'll be weighing kilograms, not pounds. And I think she typically, there's a lot of fights where she actually weighs in 137. Okay. And I know if you're like, oh, that's 1 pound. Like that's a big deal. That's a very, very, that 1 pound is a very, very big difference. So we have a lot. And man, you're just making me think about, guys, just imagine how much money she got paid for the Lisa Versosa bloodbath fight. You know what I mean? I know Invicta does his best to compensate his fighters, but they're not one of the larger promotions. They can only pay so much. And I think do they have fight night bonuses? I think Invicta does, right? Think about how long, like Julia, what Julia's the kind of fights she gets into and how much money she's probably getting paid up until this point in her career. So yeah, it's just a whole scary and crappy situation all around for everyone.
So we've had conversations before about like unlucky fighters in the UFC. I think Julia Avila has officially made that list because like just look at this. Okay, she signs with the UFC. She's supposed to fight Melissa Gatto at UFC 239. Gatto gets injured. In comes Pani Khienzad. Avila goes on and wins the fight.
Wait. Say fight who? Who was her original opponent?
Melissa Gatto.
Who is that?
I don't know. Did
the UFC never bring her back? I guess. Okay. Sorry.
I don't think they did.
I was like, I've just never heard that name before. I was like, what? Sorry. Continue her bad luck.
They never brought her back.
Another fight.
They tried to book her in June. Oh, that's right. That's right. Is that? And then the Dobson fight happened, I think, or whatever. So yeah. And then after that, she was booked to fight Carol Rosa, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. Four times she was supposed to fight Carol Rosa. And either the event was canceled, Rosa had to pull out due to an injury or couldn't make it. She gets a fresh opponent, Gina Mazzani, on like a week's notice, gets a finish there. Then she was supposed to fight Nika Montano.
We're talking about bad luck. She fought Gina and didn't get the 50K when she should have absolutely got that 50K too.
After a 22 second finish.
So we're even having bad luck when she has good things happen to her. Sorry. I'm adding more to the bad luck to her. Sorry.
Then she's supposed to fight Nika Montano three different times on three different dates. The third one falls out. So rather than try to rebook it again, she says, you know what? Shajara Eubanks just lost her opponent. She was supposed to fight like this coming Saturday. Let's fight her the next Saturday. Let's push things back 3 weeks and fight her on 10 days notice just so I can get a fight. She loses that fight, and then she's supposed to fight Stolyarenko here, and Stolyarenko has the problems on the scale. I mean, this is a combination of nine opponent changes, date changes, opponents falling out. It's just wild, man. Just crazy.
Guys, I hate to say it because I know this is going to make Jose happy, but maybe she needs to lean into this crystal thing more. Jose, I don't know if you saw in the Q&A, obviously she's a geologist, and I thought this woman of science will finally dispel this crystal craziness. I point blank asked her, I was like, Julia, what do you think of this crystal nonsense that people from our site and many prominent MMA fighters are pushing? And she did not shoot it down, Jose. I don't know if you saw it. She said, I think if you believe in it, then it works. Then go for it. And I was just like, she's a geologist. I'm not. I can't argue. She knows more about rocks than I ever will. So, I mean, Jose, do you think that she, I don't know if she'll, I'm sure Mike can pass on the message, but in case she's watching, do you have crystal recommendations for her to shake off this horrible run she's had? please.
I would be I would be the wrong. I would be the wrong person to ask for Crystal recommendations. I would definitely send her to Jessica Crystal Crew.
Yes.
For all, because I don't want to speak out of turn and all of a sudden I lose my credibility. You know.
Oh, that's fair. You're a credible man in the Crystal community, and I don't want to. I'm not trying to expose you.
Like as most people in the world should do, will pass on the question to the actual experts that speak out my ass.
Yeah. I also want to read a comment from Russian Bot who says, Casey looks like the guy who finds a broken VCR and insists on spending 4 hours to repair it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
I love it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh, and Jessica's in the comments section now as well. There we go. Oh, no, he's going out. He's really got a lot of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been going to sleep. I've been going like when 10 p.m. hits now, I'm like, Esther, it's time to go to bed. I am sleepy. Like, and like, I would love to be a 6 a.m. mall walker. That sounds terrific, Russian Bot. So these are all great suggestions. I appreciate it, Mr. Bot.
Oh, man. Do we have anything else? Should we do low key fight?
Yeah, they're all all the rest of the comments are kind of insults / compliments at me. So yeah, let's talk about low key fights.
All right, AK, you're under the radar fighter storyline heading into tomorrow.
I said it. I said I'm excited for Tuivasa Hunsucker, man. What was the original match? Oh, Dontayle Mays. You know, that would have been a good fight too. But I know they're bringing Hunsucker off the couch. He just had a sweet, sweet heavyweight knockout of the also wonderfully named Corey Moon at a show. I think it was called Hard Rock MMA, which it almost sounds, it sounds like a Will Ferrell movie. It's like a Will Ferrell MMA parody movie. It's like Harry Hunsucker versus Corey Moon, Hard Rock. I'm like, that's not real. But the clip is out there. You can find it on our site and Miss Fist, or just look up Harry Hunsucker. I'm sure you'll find. And the first thing that'll pop up on social media is stuff about his Contender Series appearance. And then the fight he had after where, he just smoked this guy in like, it was like a 30-second knockout or something. It's just a wonderful regional heavyweight fight. So I think it's very cool that he got the call. I am not expecting him to win at all. I think Tai Tuivasa, I know he hit a little slump there, but I am a believer that he is a pretty talented heavyweight. So he should be more than enough for Hunsucker. This should be a sub 2 minute KO. But either way, I'm expecting something fun. So congrats, Hunsucker and Tuivasa for getting to open this card.
All right, Casey, what's yours?
Under the radar. I'm going with, I'm really excited for the Cheyenne Bays and Montserrat Conejo fight. I really enjoyed watching Montserrat's fights in Invicta. I thought she looked awesome. Cheyenne and Montserrat are both, how old is Cheyenne? Under 25, right? Something like that. She's relatively young, right?
24, I think.
Okay, yeah. So both of them aren't even near their prime. And I think it's just an exciting strawweight fight between two prospects. And you know, I'm a fan of neck tattoos, you know? So yeah, and Montserrat isn't short of any.
Jose, what's one that you haven't discussed yet that you're really looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the return of Montel Jackson, I suppose, because he had a lot of hype around him for not, I don't want to say hype, but people thought he would be like a future top 15, top 10 guy, and he kind of had that speed bump. And so I'm excited to see him get back. Of course, Gustavo Lopez, former Combate America fighter, returning. I know he debuted on super short notice against Merab Dvalishvili, so obviously, I think that was the fight Merab broke his own record for most takedowns in a single fight in like bantamweight history. So, and I think that made him one of two fighters, maybe three fighters in UFC history to have two fights with double digit takedowns in a single fight. And then obviously he got back into the win column his next fight. So Gustavo Lopez and Montel Jackson are two fighters specifically that I wouldn't hate if they fought down the road. But I'm really looking forward to their returns.
Yeah, Lopez against Adrian Yanez is a great fight. That is a banger. Really excited for that one at 135. Trevin Giles versus Roman Dolidze is interesting. Dolidze on 11 days notice, cuts to 185, makes it championship weight. First fight ever at 185. So pretty impressive stuff. I know Giles kind of admittedly was concerned about the scale and, you know, whether or not Dolidze would make weight. And the guy's a pro. Those Georgian fighters, they got it together. And I'm interested to see what he looks like at 85 and see if Trevin Giles can keep this train rolling. Two wins in 2020, kind of a bumpy year for him with, you know, the fainting and everything that happened before the Kevin Holland fight and, you know, the way he bounced back and stopped Bavon Lewis. I'm interested to see how that one plays out. So it should be a fun card tomorrow.
I like this card. I think this is a solid, this is what fight night cards are. You know, this is, that's all, I mean, it's a good card. I like it.
As do I. And we will be back. We'll see what happens. The plan is 6:30 Eastern to turn it over to you guys for questions, thoughts, comments about this card. I don't know if anything has changed since we lost Julia on Julia, but we'll see what happens there. But 30 minutes before the card starts, we'll be back talking to all of you guys. And then, of course, we'll recap the action once Kevin Holland and Derek Brunson do the damn thing. So for AK, Casey Lydon over there, go fix those VCRs, my friend. For Jose Youngs, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
I love mall walking. It's not an insult.
This is mall walking music.
Yeah. Turn it up.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.